Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
We last saw our crew at the Resonance Theater, where Riot and Epoch attempted to strike a deal with the Devil Arcana to transfer Riot's bondage from Lux Booker to Epoch herself. The Devil, however, has other plans. With Epoch feeling the physical toll of renouncing sleep, the Devil seeks to alleviate her burden by transferring some of her bonds to Riot, making her its newest Namesferatu. But with Epoch as the only exception, the Devil's Namesferatu cannot harm one another, meaning that Riot would be forced to work against Crater and Celestine as they attempt to bring down Lux. Epoch tries to reason with the Devil on Riot's behalf, but the Devil notes Riot already bonded herself to it, and that it would never knowingly jeopardize a follower as powerful as Lux. To thwart one Arcana, Celestine seeks the aid of another, communing with the Star for some shred of hope that Riot can avoid the Devil's bondage. The Star replies that the only solution to an impossible situation is to remove the problem entirely. entirely. In this case, that problem is the devil itself. But the show must go on. Ever the professional, Epoch tells the devil they will seal the deal during the ritual play, while secretly making plans to ambush the devil in the midst of the performance. And so our players take the stage with Riot in the role of a fearsome pirate queen, while Crater and Celestine don the noble mantles of Poop Deck Seamen 1 and 2. As the ritual begins, the bounds between reality and the networks thin, and a tangle of golden threads spreads out from Epoch. When the devil joins them on stage, reaching down to transfer some of Epoch's threads to Riot, Epoch strikes with her blade. A battle ensues. The devil unleashes hellfire and transforms Epoch's thralls into goat-like minions. But to its great surprise, it is overwhelmed by the combined might of the three fools and its favorite disciple. Epoch rejects the idea that the devil alone may offer deals and tries to strike one herself. When the devil refuses, Epoch delivers a final blow to her own patron. In this moment, the impossible becomes possible. The Devil Arcana is destroyed, leaving in its wake a dangerous void. A void that calls out to be filled, that beckons Epoch to fill it. And with a bow, she does. And an Arcana is reborn. Epoch the Devil.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
verdant,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair.
You will
see the world. You will
know Planet Arcana.
You will find
Planet.
All it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
In the wake of the events at the Resonance Theater, it was difficult to shake the sensation of being caught at the edge of reality. You witnessed the death and rebirth of an Arcana. You participated in it. Your minds reject this reality instinctively. The journey from the theater back to Sister Mary Viables is fuzzy, and the dream you had that night was highly abstract and shared between the three of you. In it, Epoch appeared to you, or rather, the new devil appeared to you as a static image of Epoch's sleeping form. It spoke to you through a warbling, indistinct version of Epoch's real voice. Caught in the transformation between Android and Arcana, this new devil seemed tentative in its power, but committed to its duty. Interacting with her felt similar to interacting with other Arcana, but with the added vertigo-inducing sensation of recent tangibility, this new devil remembers firsthand what it is to breathe air, to play music, to touch her lover's hair. Perhaps no other Arcana can say the same. It is impossible to know, and nearly impossible to fathom, and yet fathom it you must. And so must the other Arcana. In the dream, you sensed the curiosity and confusion of Justice, the Sun, the Moon, the Star, and the Hanged Man as they eavesdropped. Yet they kept their distance. Are they afraid? In the dream, the new devil made several assurances. Foremost among them was that a deal is a deal, and all deals must be honored. Lux will be sent to sleep during CGA's final ceremonies. Celestine will receive Lux's true name at the right moment. Riot, sadly, must remain bound to the devil. However, a caveat is added. The new devil will ask nothing of Riot, not until the crucial moment comes, a moment when Riot will be presented with a choice. The new devil would say nothing more. Over the days leading up to your CGA performances, the fuzzy sensation in your minds retreats and fades, but never completely. And before you know it, the time is upon you. Today, you will head to the CGA arena.
Fuck.
Goodness fucking gracious.
Oh, God, stars.
Things feel different now.
I would agree.
Yeah.
But I wish I understood better how they are different.
Like, we just straight up just killed Narcana.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was possible.
If our entire goal over this journey was just progress, I think that that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, it's definitely different.
It's got to be something. What if we have it all wrong, Narcana? Because obviously we got this part wrong. Something's going on and I feel like we're opening something we didn't really intend to open at the beginning of this.
I mean, that's kind of our way, isn't it? We just keep stumbling into different conundrums every single week, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I'm not really surprised by anything anymore.
No, kind of nice. But we got Lux's sleep coordinated and everything. That's got to count for something.
Yeah, I guess at this point it's on Teaspoon's shoulders to do whatever she has planned.
Now, seeing as Teaspoon has some work to do and we're not going to be able to contact her before then, at least I don't know how we would, perhaps we should keep 13 on standby to see if there's any way that they can communicate with Teaspoon while we are doing whatever it is that we're about to do.
The speak shells?
I was thinking the same thing, Ms. Riot. I can't think of a better person to hold the fourth than 13.
With her access to Teaspoon and to JAD, it's kind of perfect.
I would agree. Also, is it worth telling 13 about what we witnessed with the devil? I don't know anybody that knows more about the Arcana than 13, save perhaps Uncle Edict, though what he knows is unreliable at best.
I think we should absolutely tell 13.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily against it. I'm just a little apprehensive to tell a lot of people that we're kind of in league with the devil, even though it's a more friendly devil than it was previous, but
there's a stigma.
Yeah. It's not a great look, right?
Optics are everything, yeah.
Something tells me that the acolyte of death itself might be understanding that we've made a deal with the devil.
Maybe.
See, even you just saying that sentence just sounds like it sends a shiver down my spine. That doesn't sound good.
I know,
right?
I'm not. I say it over and over, hoping that I'm going to get used to it, and it still seems weird and creepy every time.
Mm-hmm. There's not that many choices that we have of allies, and any ally that we can get at this point, take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
13's not really done anything to lead us to think that they'll screw us over at any point. Famous last words.
If anything, I'd say that the concern here is that we put 13 in some degree of danger by involving them.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that 13 is here for it. And maybe has been to some degree for a long time.
I mean, they're really gung-ho about helping us help Teaspoon. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is all interconnected.
It is.
Speaking of being interconnected, how's everyone feeling about their performance that they must enact in order for us to get all this crazy shit done?
Well, now that you mention it, Ms. Riot, I mean, don't get me wrong. In answer to your question, I am extremely nervous. I mean, I've been pacing a hole in this rug for the last 2 days, as you can see. But what I'm most concerned about right now is we learned that Lux feeds off the successes of his thralls. So if you give a very good performance, doesn't that make Lux stronger?
God damn it.
Are you asking Riot to bomb?
I think we might need you to take a dive.
What? I don't do that. Wait. I exist to impress. I don't,
Would Lux even let you bomb?
I mean,
that's true.
I mean,
oh, that is a good point.
Okay, Celestine, what if you and I bomb?
Oh, Crater, I figured that was a foregone conclusion anyway.
Oh, there's too much. There's too much at work. I guess the other thing that I wanted to talk to you two about regarding the ceremonies, the CGAs, is we were able to find Vlad in the network easily because we could audibly hear his buzzing and we were sleeping in his nasty bed with him. Are we going to do that again?
You mean climb into bed with Lux?
Yeah, I don't know. Where is he going to fall asleep?
Well, I mean, your guess is as good as mine. How would we even get ourselves into the same room as a sleeping Lux? And what is it that we're going to do? Like, are we going after Lux in the networks once he is in his big sleep? Like, during the closing ceremonies? Or are we doing something in the networks before that to make sure that he is in need of his sleep during the ceremonies?
Just as a reminder, Epoch / the New Devil has agreed that Lux, like, that is the timing that Lux will be sent to sleep, is during the final ceremonies.
Okay, so for our purposes, we don't need to, like, soften him up. We don't need to go at Lux.
It's done.
Okay, that is done. So yeah. The plan is then, he goes into his big sleep during the closing ceremonies. We go into the networks, find him, do what we had planned to do to Vlad in hopes that Teaspoon can do whatever it is that she has planned in the real world once we're ready.
That's a perfect description of exactly what you need to do.
And y'all raise a good point about, you know, last time versus this time. You were in bed with Vlad, and I think at this point there's no guarantee that you will have an invitation to Lux's sleeping area. What to do? What to do? For now, maybe everyone can roll me an Arcana or an Insight check.
Ooh, I would like.
And just to add to that too, the closing today is day one of the major performances, which is you guys. You're going to do 3 major performance days, and then the 4th day is closing ceremonies. Mm. So there's 4 or like 3 days left until you need to find out where it is. So it's not cool. Not impossible to find that information either.
Mm-hmm. Wait, our performances today?
Yes.
Flog. One of them.
One of them. Fuck.
That was a 5 on my insight.
Ugh. Yikes.
Thanks.
9.
That's another yikes.
Arcana?
Or insight?
I'm going to go with Arcana. 25.
Yes.
Well, okay. Hello.
Yes. Thematically beautiful.
Beautiful. So, Riot, you're sort of thinking back to last time, and then maybe the time before that, your first time really being guided in the networks by Snowshoe. You recall his methods in finding the thread, because of course, when you went in, you were nowhere near Scavenger's proximity. Mm. An idea begins to form in your mind. You know that it is easier to find a name Suratu in the networks if your physical body can hear that buzzing. Mm-hmm. Entering the networks from farther away, it might be similar to like a scry, and Celestine, you would be kind of familiar with this. And in order to use something like that, you have to apply the knowledge that you have of the person, or even a physical object that belonged to the person. And I think the more intimate the knowledge and the more intimate the object, you could surmise that the higher success you will have in locating the buzzing and the thread once in the networks.
Would you say that Riot belongs to Lux?
Oh my God. Holy shit. Oh my God.
Beautiful.
Yeah, he certainly sees me as an object.
That is a wonderful interpretation. And I do believe that with holding that idea in your mind might give you some advantage when the time comes.
Oh.
Would we know if there's additional advantage to be had if we can swipe something that belonged to Lux?
I mean, I think just Celestine knowing, like being a bit familiar with the spell, you would just know this, that like a possession is worth less on the scale than being just familiar with the target. So you're already familiar. You're a higher threshold than the possession. There is one higher tier, and that involves you having something of his that belongs to his body.
Mm. Uh-huh. Would also like knowing his true name also help us in that? Like that's a pretty personal object of Lux.
Oh, baby, would right? that ever help you?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, who knows whether you'll have that.
Have that in time for that? Okay, yeah, fair enough.
So we need a finger.
Yeah, well, easy. We got a rogue. You can just pickpocket a finger off of
Absolutely.
Lux, right?
Yeah.
Is there something to be said about maybe when the time comes, we maybe split up? Like some of us go into the networks, find a way to communicate beyond, and then like somebody's out of the networks ready to just like smash the dude's skull in or something like that.
Thank you, Sean. That was my question. The speaking shells, are they restricted to the same plane of existence?
Yep, that's what you found out when you were investigating them.
Right, okay. So we don't necessarily have a good way to communicate back to the outside world unless we do it kind of the same, unless we have like 13 as a contact the way that they were the last time. To some degree, we were able to send some sort of communication back and forth to 13.
They did meet you in the networks, in a sense, that time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would also add that you were all three of you against Vlad, and you weren't successful. So if you're going to lessen the party to go against Lux, you have to have a pretty airtight plan.
Crucial reminder.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
We have a couple days.
We do. We do with that.
Let's put this on the back burner and see what we can figure out over the course of the day, because I believe the first performance is today, gentlemen.
Oh my. My mouth is getting dry and I kind of feel like I'm going to throw up, but
I'm cramping. I'm cramping a lot, which I never do.
You're going to be great.
I certainly appreciate your confidence. I just wish I shared it. DMs, can I take a little moment to send Ma and Pa a pip message?
Oh, yes.
All right. So yeah, I'll just text, because if I send a voice message, I know that Pa will just let it play out in the middle of the open whenever he heads into town, and it'll be really loud and everybody will hear it. So hi, Ma and Pa. It's your boy Celestine. Well, I wanted you to know that I'm okay, and that I've made some friends, and together we're gonna be performing in CGA, and so I just didn't want you to see it and be surprised. I wanted you to hear it from me first, and I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm gonna do it. And well, Pa, I think you might recognize one of the songs that we're gonna do. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that, for teaching me the song. And, I just love you both so much, and I hope I get to see you soon.
You send it off knowing that, of course, Ma and Pa, they take the trip to a larger town that has a pip port and update their pips infrequently. But you know that they will appreciate hearing this from you, and you know that they'll be proud.
That's nice.
Extremely.
That's nice. That's nice. That's nice for you. Your mommy and daddy will be proud.
Yeah.
So who's going first?
I don't want to go first, but I'm just not sure that I'm the best first introduction for the damn good Unwilds.
Celestine, that's not the way that I see it. Like,
absolutely.
I think you got to rip that Band-Aid off, kid.
Like, yeah, but that hurts, Crater. I don't like that expression. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would I do something that hurts real bad?
But if you keep it on, it gets infected. It only gets worse, right?
Oh, damn it.
Also, like, Riot and I are going to be there beside you.
Oh, you'd better be.
I'm not done my song yet, so I...
You're not done yet? Crater!
I'm making some tweaks.
Oh my
You don't
stars.
Have to, Celestine. If it's not, you know, not your time, I can step in. But I mean, truly, truly believe in you.
It's a strong song, man.
Strong.
Do you think so? It's just an old folk song.
Yeah, you kill it. Also, again, to go back to this, if you do this, then you're on easy street for the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
No more anxiety, no more night sweats. Get it over with.
I like the idea that I've been so damp in the middle of the night that it's been noticeable to everybody. Oh my. All right. So I'm the opening act for the Damn Good Unwilds. May I just say that this is, at the very least, this is a much better name than the name that we originally came up with, if I do say so myself.
The Jeep Wranglers was pretty powerful, though.
What's a Jeep?
It's stupid. It means nothing.
Jeep is whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's ethereal. It's
like
beauty in a word.
It's like a concept incarnate.
Huh. It could be literally anything. It could be someone's name. It could be a feeling. It could be a vehicle. It could be
a vehicle?
A vehicle.
That's silly.
That's a wild thing to say, Crater. And yet. Well, see, now you got me thinking. And Celestine takes out the sheet that he's been sort of scribbling down the lyrics to the song on and starts going through and crossing out a couple of things and changing some things. And then hands copies out to Crater and Riot. What do you think? Do these changes make sense?
Somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This works. This is, you know what this is? This is our identity.
Whoa. Ooh. Do we all make songs about Jeeps?
I mean, we could. That at the very least, we would be unified in our theme, I suppose.
Okay. I'm going to scrap what I have. Yeah. Okay. We're making songs about Jeeps. Fuck it. I'm on board.
Got the inspiration. We'll be on Jeep Street. That didn't work.
And just so I'm clear and I'm not missing anything, we have not defined what a Jeep is, right? It's different for you and it's different for me. Is anybody else going to know what a Jeep is?
No, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I think it's probably the only way this works.
It's art, man.
Being an artist is so confusing.
But it's so lucrative, you make so much money.
It's all about the money.
I'm playing a fantasy game.
And what a nice fantasy it is.
Sure.
And if there's nothing else, and here's your chance to interrupt me.
Just before the day starts on record. Yeah. I'll roll for my cosmic omen so that it's
Yay.
In front right. of everybody. Okay, that's even. It's a wheel day.
Wheel.
And with that dignified refrain, you set off for performance day one.
We're introducing a new mechanic for CGA. It is a popularity rule.
Oh, shit.
Popularity mechanics determine how well you're being received by the media and the public. Good and bad roles don't necessarily correspond to your performances. A bad role could mean someone else did something shocking or noteworthy, and they're taking up more tabloid space. At the top of each day, you'll roll a general luck check to determine how much space you're occupying in the media. We'll also call for some non-luck-based popularity roles later. DCs for the luck table are 10 and up, and other DCs will be revealed later. Although there are thresholds you're trying to hit with the rolls, the popularity mechanic is more focused on pitting you against the other projected CGA winner this year, Team Sprocket. Every time you roll a popularity check, they do too. And a final note about this, popularity is not synonymous with goodwill. The final popularity scores will determine who wins CGA, but you may win as heroes or villains.
Yo.
So
interesting.
50-50.
So we're going to start day one with a straight up and down luck check. You basically want to hit 10 and higher, and there's no modifiers to it. I will mention that Team Sprocket is doing this too. They do have a +1 bonus because of nepotism.
I love that. Yes.
That is fair. That's good.
So who would like to roll the first luck check?
Celestine, this is you.
No, God, no. I've been...
It's your day. It's your performance day.
Okay. That's true.
Okay. It is an 11.
Ooh, oh, by the barely. Skin of his teeth.
All right, and I'll make my secret little roll. Nope. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that.
No, I liked it.
Good. My secret roll. Nope. So,
can I ask the format of CGAs? Mm-hmm. Is it like a bracket tournament? Like we're going head-to-head against another band? Or is it just like total score at the end of it?
Great question.
It is, in fact, a cumulative score.
Okay.
There are a ton of bands participating in CGA, but like a lot of other like real-life music festivals, a lot of the bands are here to perform, not in the actual competition. So while there are like a few bands that are actually competing with you, there's pretty much two obvious winners, even though a lot of other bands are going through the motions. Like, it's either going to be you guys or Team Sprocket. Everybody knows it, but there are other people there to get, like, you know, some media coverage, some exposure, etc. You will find out a bit later about a bit, like, some more of the nitty gritty and, like, your schedule and stuff like that. But that's what I can tell you right now.
Cool. So, like, politically, there's two options, two front runners.
Exactly.
It's the Super Bowl. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before we go into this, can we remind ourselves what we've got this whole Lux thing that, you know, the big sleep is going to happen at closing ceremonies. What is the advantage that we're gaining toward our goal by participating in CGA again?
We're having fun.
That's a good reason. Yeah. Yeah. and meanwhile, the key to the box exists somewhere out there, but we're having a good time. Don't worry about it.
I mean, Lux is still awake right now.
Right.
He, you know, there's not a lot of choice in it right now, especially, like, particularly for Riot.
Okay, yeah. So we're doing this because Lux is making Riot do it.
Well, and it's access to all of the main players that we've been investigating, to be honest. So I think it's the best bet at, like, figuring out what's going to go down. And possibly it's where everything is going to go down.
Yeah. Peter, just like, do we even need to do this?
No. That's not the intention. That's not the intention. I just think that for the sake of the listener, it's
great.
Good to sort of recap why we're here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It puts us in the room with all the big players, right? And it also, it, like, at this point, we're trying to keep up appearances for Riot to be who she is. And this is a very right thing to do, is perform and try and win CGAs.
Yeah, we're also coming off of a stint of not being the press's most, you know, hands point. Clean individuals. Might be good to distract from other.
All right, then.
Performance day one. Good morning, Fifth Collide. I'm Shoulda Paz, reporting from the foot of the waterfall in Paragarden Spray Zone, just outside of CGA Arena as it prepares to open its gates. Not in memory have we had a more drama-filled, buzzworthy, and rumorful lead-up to a CGA competition, with the last-minute announcement of Influencer Riot's entry as a competitor to the mysterious headline billing of Team Sprocket, a band no one had heard of as of 3 months ago, to Teaspoon Equilibrate's mysterious and unexpected withdrawal from public appearances. Though, today, she finally returns to her role as host. Whatever happens over the next 4 days, this reporter is confident in saying that we're in for a CGA none of us will ever forget. As for me, I'll be there, live and in person, catching it all up close and reporting it back to you, Fifth Collide. Stay tuned for more at the top of the hour. I'm Shoulda Paz. The streets are absolutely packed, and you are stopped by fans repeatedly, leaving you a bit short on time as you make your way to the CGA arena. You follow the crowd toward the spray zone's elevators, but rather than embarking, you take a sharp right turn, descend down a long walkway and over a bridge, and present your passes to CGA staff. Finally, you're able to disengage from the crowd as you're escorted through the performer's entrance. With the sunken arena sitting at the foot of the waterfall, the misty spray intensifies as you walk, before suddenly ceasing altogether. You've crossed the threshold of the invisible dome that protects the arena, and redirects the waterfall's flow around the Colosseum. Surprised at the sudden improvement in visibility, you look behind you and take in the sight of the story's high wall of rolling mist and foam. The venue's backstage area runs the perimeter of the circular arena and is elevated from the main competition grounds. It feels so much larger than it appears from the outside. And as the staff hurry you to the artist reception desk, you get a big picture view of the sunken middle portion of the arena. Crowds of humans and androids, more ad chads and vendabots than you've ever seen in one place, massive holographic advertisements floating above CGA's multiple stages, and endless lights, lasers, and floating confetti. A chime suddenly echoes throughout the arena. Above you, the invisible dome shimmers and an image takes shape. You look up to see Teaspoon's smiling face.
Welcome all to day one of CGA. I'm your host, Teaspoon Equilibrette, and I just couldn't be happier to see you all. Kicking off day one, we've got some amazing acts, including Greep and the Shroomies, Rotary Dial, Truck Jones, The Bare Minimum, Bad Forecast, Bats Tonight, and
bones to meet you, just to name a few. And of course, perhaps this year's most buzzed about acts, Team Sprocket and the Damn Good on Wilds. Flag down your nearest Vendabot or ad chat to get your copy of the program. And don't forget to cheer hard for your favorite performer. Get ready, folks. You won't believe what we've got in store for you.
And as Teaspoon's announcement ends and the ceiling becomes transparent once more, you arrive at reception and are greeted by a high ponytailed, gum-chewing, extremely familiar receptionist. Oh, great. It's you guys.
Hi.
Bitters. Welcome to CGA, Bitters. Artists. I'm so thrilled to greet you.
I bet you are.
All right.
Wait, sorry. Who is this? Sorry?
This is Bitters, right?
This is Bitters.
This is Bitters. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Bitters.
Have you seen Mr. Burbles recently?
What?
Sorry, it's...
Who?
Never mind.
That was so long ago, and that was a creature that canonically only lives for a couple days, so...
don't tell me that right before we're supposed to perform.
Anyway. Artist name.
We are the Damn Good and Wilds. You might have heard of us.
Wow, a fabulous name. I'm certain I'm going to look you up after this. And she goes and digs in the back for, like, through a bunch of basically, like, tote bags, massive overfilled tote bags. Seems to find one with your name on it and brings it back to you. She passes it over to you and you look through this bag. It is filled with so much shit. There is a bunch of Dedowel merch, all of the merch that you all promised to wear. Crop tops, right. Pants, bandanas, you name it, he has put it in there for you. There are lanyards. There's a swag bag, and it's filled with a bunch of CGA-branded shit, like keychains, bottle openers, baseball hats, stress balls, pens, but not a clicky one, a CGA-brand water bottle, special collaboration with Paragarden Pure, water bottles, toad socks, carabiners, printed but autographed, photo of Bon Bon and Patricia, a booklet of gift cards to local businesses, Missy Misty's snow cone, 4 liter of Cransimmon kombucha, a clicky pen, and a mug, and directions to your trailer.
I like that there's a clicky pen and a non-clicky pen.
we had to make the distinction.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a bunch of crap.
Oh, swag. Okay, great.
You're welcome to go to your trailer whenever you're ready. Please give me your merch so that I can sell it for you.
Oh, fuck. Do we do merch? I don't think
merch.
We do
merch. Oh. I have a little extra weed if you want to sell that.
Wild's merch is just
weed. Fucking pre-rolls. I love that.
Do it. Okay. I'll sell your drugs.
It's from the Good on Wilds, so...
I've got five candles.
hold up. I'm gonna grab the bag of holding. I'm just going to rummage through it real quick. Let's see what we got here. No, I got a fancy rug. I think that was from episode 2.
Where? Got some... Just got... dump all your junk.
I got some artwork and jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this all looks like shit that you just picked up along the way. Hey, listen, why don't you go figure out your merch situation and bring it back to me, and I would be so happy to sell it for you. The other thing that I am required to let you know is that you do get your schedule every day first thing, so you will have to come back and sign in with me before noon each day. Today, you will be playing on the Thrill Call-In stage.
Okay.
Excellent. And of course, you all know Thrill Call-In's famously from his hit song, In the Water Tonight.
Yes, of course.
He's an Aquaketchian.
Yes. Actually, he was from Hydropolis, and he was the first Aquaian to win CGA.
Thank you.
Oh.
Is that a big stage? Like, how many people are going to be there watching?
It's one of the top 5 stages. I'm seeing here that you'll probably be on the main stage on the last day. Let's see. Oh, it looks like you got the headlining slot each day. That is so cool. Yeah, you'll be on main stage last day. I don't know what stage you'll be on tomorrow. This is the 3rd biggest stage.
All right.
Good for you.
Sweet.
Always a pleasure to see Bitters.
It's such an honor to converse with people who are so dedicated to their arts.
Imagine her reading off of cue cards that she has hidden underneath the
desk. Yeah.
Okay. I guess we leave. Sort out an arm.
Were we supposed to have merch?
Yeah. Okay.
Was that a requirement?
We can do this. I feel like we can make something.
Okay.
Okay. We need to get our hands on some plain t-shirts. They have t-shirts in the Fifth Collide. Anyway.
Do they have t-shirts in the Fifth Collide?
Nope.
Nobody ever heard of them.
Nope. Yeah, sure. They got t-shirts.
Okay. Crater, in your days of nefarious deeds, did you ever come across a line on t-shirts?
I mean, there were some people back in the day that used to pick up boxes of clothes that fell off the back of a truck, if you know what I mean.
That's what I'm talking about.
I might have a contact. I can make a call or two, I guess. DMs.
Do you want to use your criminal background to find a bunch of t-shirts on short notice?
My background ability is called supply chain. So from your time as a merchant, you retain connections with wholesalers, suppliers, and other merchants and entrepreneurs.
Wow.
Oh my God. It's all full circle.
Here's the thing. You will have to invest a little bit to get these done, but you've luckily got Bitters on sales, so you're sure to sell a lot. how much are you willing to put down to get a bunch of t-shirts made?
Yeah. What are you putting on the t-shirts? Give me like a small visual, because maybe at some point someone will draw it.
Well, what if we like paint our faces and then just like smush our faces into the shirt?
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Gotta be purple.
Purple? Okay.
So we need a line of purple paint and t-shirts.
Cool. And then we just write like the Good on Wilds, like, you know, the badass damn font over it. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like the aesthetic of late has been the shittier the better. As far as what's in fashion.
Then we are in luck.
Sure are.
I love this idea because like each one of like three faces takes up almost the entirety of the front of the t-shirt.
Well, we can have different like different versions. Some people might want to get all the additions. It's like, who's your favorite character?
Whoa. I'm for it. You tell me how much you're willing to spend and what you want on it, and we'll go from there.
We do have the Pearl Octopus statue.
Trade the Pearl Octopus statue for t-shirts.
Fence it, baby.
If you're willing to trade that, I can tell you how much it's worth.
I don't know. Did you guys have some other ideas for it?
I mean, I have 122 gold. I don't know how much that'll get us. Not much.
I have a few hundred remaining. Crater, you're the one with the contacts. What is this gonna cost us?
That's a great question that I know the answer to.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, it's an investment, right? So you put in some money and you'll get
some money back.
Presumably more money out of it.
Right.
Okay.
I would be interested in trading the octopus statue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sitting here.
How much is it worth?
Well, that's sort of the thing, is that you don't know that now, but when you make the trade, I will be able to tell you, because that's kind of the only way you're going to figure it out. So you have to, basically, you have to commit.
I want to commit.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I feel like there's probably some staff at the CGA that are just like bringing in boxes and boxes of merch to the merch tables through all the different bands that are performing here. Mm-hmm. I think I maybe take one of the lackeys aside and talk to him a little bit and figure out who his connect is and work up the chain from there, you know, find who the distributor was and then where the boxes were coming from. Then like maybe someone will give me the name of a shop here in Paragarden that will turn around something pretty quick for us.
Okay. The 2 foot tall octopus carving made of pearl is worth 2,500 gold.
Oh boy. Oh
my God.
So you hand that over. Here's the thing. There is going to be a little bit of a premium because it's a rush job.
Of course, naturally.
So I'm going to say like they charge an extra 500 gold just for the rush. So $2,000 goes towards printing merch and having it delivered.
Okay.
Perfect. Love that. It's better than what we had this morning. So
sure is. It.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, having just walked into your first day at CGA, immediately dropping $2,500 and getting your schedule from Bitters, knowing that you are on the headlining slot, not only today, but every day, which means you will be performing last of all the bands. So sort of later in the evening. It's like after Crater like does his scouting around to try to find a lead on some merch printing. It's probably like mid-afternoon, so you do have time to check out a band or two if you'd like. Maybe just one, actually, just to be clear.
That sounds great. What do you say, guys? You want to harvest some inspiration, see some performances?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go see the level of competition we're facing. You know, I'm sure it's going to be easy, right?
Totally. The way that this works is most everybody performs almost every day. It's just that the schedules are different every day, except for you guys, because you're like one of the projected winners. So you're kind of expected to be this headlining slot. So that's just to explain why there would be like a different roster of bands for you to see each day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's Greep and the Shroomies. There's Rotary Dial. There's Truck Jones. There's The Bare Minimum. There's Bad Forecast, Bats Tonight, and Bones to Meet You. Honestly, a pretty wicked lineup for day one.
Extremely.
I mean, my vote's Greep and the Shroomies.
Bare Minimum sounds kind of hot. Mm.
Ooh, I mean, does it. I like a Bare Minimum. I also like a Rotary Dial. They all sound great to me. Let's point at one and walk to it, I guess.
Yeah, random.
You walk through a bunch of smaller stages than the one that you're expected to play on. They're like stages for, you know, a few hundred people. You can see, and like, you'll be playing in the arena, so there is going to be thousands of people there. But there's just some smaller stages highlighting some local bands and such. And you land at the back of a pretty raucous crowd, and you see at the stage is a wicked band, and you see a massive banner behind them. It's The Bare Minimum. And you catch a song.
Can I just say that banner needs to be really small?
Because it's The Bare Minimum. That's
because it's The Bare Minimum. Yeah.
Straight down the track.
yet.
Oh my stars.
No, that was incredible. I don't know how we're gonna do as good as that.
That long-haired fella in the kiss cut off fucking shreds. Holy shit.
Gotta meet that guy later.
Dibs, I think.
Shit. Is this a challenge?
I'll race you to it.
Yeah. All right, man. That sounds good. A little sport in my flirting.
Holy shit. Okay.
That was so cool.
I fucking rocked. I'm so nervous now. I don't want to follow that.
Nor do I. It's nothing like that.
But that's okay. One thing that I saw up there that we can channel is that visceral, that passion, that grit. That's all in you guys. And, you know, it can sound like any kind of music, but that's still the through line. That's still the thing that comes through. You got to tap into that, get inspired. That wasn't competition. That was collaborative. That was the spirit of the thing.
Ooh. Okay.
That's the confidence. I love it.
The Bare Minimum wraps up their set and people are going hard. They're like, people are still dancing in this, in the audience, and a bunch of people like finish their drinks, and people, they're in good spirits now. It's a great vibe, especially because a lot of these people are going to make their way to the main stage for your performance. So all of these bands who are just killing it, it's all the better for your performance. Tell me how you spend the rest of your first day leading up to your performance time.
And what exactly is the time of that?
Let's put it at like, let's say you have to play at 8:30 p.m. Your set time is 8:30 p.m. It's probably like 4 or 5-ish now.
I think I eye the band going off the stage, and I look at Riot, then I look at the band going off the stage, and I Riot, and I just break into a bolt through the crowd towards the band.
And I'm like, fuck! And I take off after him, tearing through the crowd.
Oh, all right then.
Unfortunately, Crater is fast. That boy can run.
I'm dumping people behind me. Like, I'm grabbing people by their collars and, like, throwing in the way of Riot.
Damn.
Crater, you reach the band. They're just packing up their instruments still, but there's an opening. You see the long-haired guitarist.
Hey there, big guy. You killed it up there. Can I just say your what they call shredding was most excellent.
Big guy, you're the big guy.
I've never really performed before, but like if you have any tips, would you be able to show me anything?
I'll tell you one thing. When you're up there and you're feeling nervous and you're thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here. Focus on one person out there and play to them. You know what? I'll be that person for you. Just look out there at me. And all that confidence I had up there is going to be up there for you.
Okay.
Get on up there.
Do you want to help me with my nerves real quick?
All right. Come here. Sit down and turn around. As I slowly massage Crater's robot shoulders, a wave of calm comes through Crater.
Oh.
I transfer my guitar energy to him for this one set.
Whoa.
Don't tell me your name.
Okay. Get on up there. Kill him.
Oh, wow. Holy shit. I feel like Riot, you catch up just in time to see like Crater getting like an inspirational pep talk from this guitarist, and then they sort of part.
And I'm extremely out of breath, but seeing that, my annoyance kind of melts into just like acceptance and pride for Crater in this. I don't know, this seems to be like, this is the right fit. They're really hitting it off. And I walk up to Crater as he's kind of swaggering away from the meeting, and I say, may the victor get the spoils.
Okay. What can I say? Dibs are dibs, right?
Good for you, buddy. I'm not even mad. Just impressed.
Celestine's a ways away in the middle of a crowd full of people. Crater! Ryan!
I didn't know, just bolted.
Hello, it's Jay, one of your DMs. Happy CGA, Fifth Colliders. I'm briefly interrupting the show to tell you to check out our very special musical guest this episode, Toronto's The Bare Minimum. Thank you for being a real-life band in our imaginary music festival. Links to The Bare Minimum in our show notes. And while you're here, might I entreat you to check out our Patreon? Patreon is the best way to support us, and we love to spread that support around to new guests, both performatory and musical. Plus, if you like our show, we have even more show on our Patreon. We have a monthly talkback show called Recharge, which houses our weird and giggly discussions about the episodes and things we recommend. It's fun! You'll like it! Check out patreon.com/planetarcana. And, of course, if you want to support us right now, tell the person you're sitting next to on public transit about us. Word of mouth is everything. Go to a real music festival and talk to people about D&D. We're everywhere! Thank you for telling people about us, and also please ask them to give us a review. This got weird. Anyway, thanks for being here. Let's get back to the show.
Oh shit, we had to be on Zoom, don't we? Goddamn.
Yeah. Let's go. We need all the prep time we can get. Is there a backstage?
There's gotta be a backstage, right?
Oh, baby, is there a backstage? In fact, there is a backstage collective green room. You have your own trailer where you can change, and there's a couple snacks there, but there's like some full meals and a lot of like just refreshments in this communal green room, which is near the main stage.
Okay. Well, why don't we go to our trailer and collect ourselves, get dressed, etc., and see what we've got to do here. What do you guys think?
Of course. Yes, of course. I suppose we do need to put on all the Dr. Dowell merchandise.
Yeah,
that was part of the deal.
You go to get ready. We'll push the clock forward a little bit. You arrive backstage just in time to see the band performing right before you. It is, of course, Team Sprocket. But before we get to that, outfit check. Please describe what everybody is wearing.
Can I put on one of the t-shirts that he gave us? And then can I jump into a rage and singe it?
So
it's like all burnt around the edges and like it's got holes and shit on it.
Yeah. Oh,
cool.
That's awesome.
So fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch work. I forget what we promised exactly.
Yeah, we did have a specific list of promises. I think that I said I would wear a Dr. Dowell bandana. I can't recall if I agreed to the cowboy hat.
Look, I think that it's fair to say that Dr. Dowell, as long as there's some branding happening, there's not going to be any ill consequences for deviating True. From the merch script.
It's not going to come repo the Fair. Ass injections?
No, yeah, there will be no repoing.
They suck it back out.
All right, well then Celestine is definitely, you know, nice bolo tie on, bandana with Dr. Dowell's logo on it, and I probably have a Dr. Dowell patch on my ass.
Nice.
I have got, I'm going to be a bandit in this next bit.
Ooh.
So I've got skin tight denim with a plaid beaten up shirt with the buttons open down to the middle of my chest, a cowboy hat. And you know how like robbers in movies have like the bandana across their eyes with like the little holes cut out.
Yeah,
I've turned a Dr. Dowell shirt so that it's a little Dr. Dowell across my face. And then a finishing touch with a patch on the ass as well.
Wow, a vision, absolutely outstanding. You arrive looking like that, and you arrive just in time to hear the announcement of the band about to perform their song.
And up next, Team Sprocket!
Come on, honey pop!
Well, I gotta put it down in words. I don't know what you've heard, but I'll tell you what really occurred. Here's the lowdown in my hometown. Daddy and mommy all up in my face. I don't get me, don't respect me. It upset me, had to get out of that place. I don't need your cash, but I'll take it. Don't need your chaperone or your approval to make it. I'll shake it with my crew. We're breaking through. Forget whatever you had planned. Do you understand?
Do ya?
No good scrappers in a hip-hop band. No good scrappers in a hip-hop band. No good scrappers in a hip-hop band.
Yeah. Living on the edge.
Take it, Blair.
Sharpening our knives.
Ooh. Hot track, hot track, hot track.
So young and hot.
Ow!
You said it.
But we live hard lives.
Baby. It's a hot life, hitting the streets, making our beats, criming it hard, becoming scrapper elites.
You said it.
I'm bad, I'm mad, I'm sad, but I forget what about. Yeah, I'm dealing with a whole lot of these feelings, so I'm stealing and I'm reeling, hit the ceiling, and baby, well maybe that's why I shout. I'm trying to remember what this is all about, but don't you dare call me till I figure it out. Forget whatever you had planned, do you understand?
I don't think they do.
No good scrappers in a hip-hop band. No good scrappers in a hip-hop band. No good scrappers in a hip-hop band. One more time, Vlad.
Living on the edge.
Ooh.
Sharpening our knives.
Ooh, bravado.
Yeah. So sharp. Mm.
So young and hot.
Ooh.
But we live hard lives.
Hot lives, hot lives.
Yes, come on.
Yeah, hard lives, come on.
Come on.
Honey pot, hard lives.
Hard lives.
Hard lives.
Hard lives.
Yeah, Vlad, hard lives.
Hard lives.
Hard lives, yeah, we got
so hard.
Hard.
Ooh. Difficult.
Ooh.
Not so easy.
Hard. So hard, so hard.
Difficult, yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
What the fuck?
Shit.
Oh my god.
That song was objectively amazing.
Like it's so...
Oh my god. Can I just say, this is the first time I've ever been thrilled that we didn't kill Vlad.
Oh yeah.
I had that thought yesterday that if you would have killed him.
I didn't realize that Vlad was going to sound like Bjork.
Oh my god. That was gold from beginning to end. Holy shit, you guys.
B worked tirelessly this week on getting these songs ready. Wow. So this is all B and massive kudos. Wow. I will
Holy
drop that now.
Shit.
Unbelievable.
Rapturous applause.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really good.
Finishes.
Oh, their first song.
Celestine starts chain smoking joints, pacing back and forth. Oh my god, I can't do this.
As you walk up on stage, they walk by you and they're like just getting all their gear off of stage. I don't think there's much gear. They probably just brought up like a DJ set that none of them used and then played the song. But as they pass, Honeypot is just like, hey, good luck out there. Do I know you from somewhere? And then they walk by.
Oh my god. It's unbelievable.
And you walk onto stage. The lights are hot and bright. You can barely see. You can't see the crowd. You can feel them, but it feels sort of isolating up here, and maybe in a comforting way, Celestine. You get ready to perform your first song.
Celestine takes a very tentative step up to the mic, looking back at Crater and Riot, kind of mouthing like, I don't want to do this. Do I have to do this? I don't want to do this.
You can do it.
Good, you're good.
Oh my. You got this.
And remember, we don't have to win. You know, if
all right,
if we okay. Even if we do win, like then that gives Lux more power. So think of it that way.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh my, my mouth is dry. Celestine gets way too close to the microphone. Hello. Good evening to y'all. We're the damn good on Wilds.
Woo!
My name is my name is. And I look back at Riot and Crater and just kind of shrug. Oh, hell with it. My name is Celestine Wanderoff, and it's nice to meet you.
Yeah!
1, 2, 3, 4.
Tell you a tale about a fella I knew. Loved burning rubber in a sunset view. A contradictory man, rugged and refined. Cross him and you're in for one hell of a drive. Some say he was human and some say machine. One part charm and two parts mean. Find him on the back roads, dusting his hair. 4x4 in the wide open air. They call him the Wrangler. the city or in the unknown, but one thing's for certain, he drove alone. He was a man of principle, a man with a creed, and he vowed to keep an empty passenger seat. But all that changed one day on the road, with the sound of an engine and a glint of chrome. Pretty little thing pulled up to his right, said,
I bet you can't catch me by the end of the night.
She sped into the dirt, nowhere to be seen. Gone in a flash like she'd never been. He was strong on the outside, but smart within. No roads, no problem, he said with a grin. She was real good, best he ever raced. But he put it in fifth for a glimpse of that face. When his high beams hit her, see the shock in her eyes. Said, come on now, shouldn't look so surprised. Cause ain't nobody outruns the Wrangler.
Oh, Wrangler, you drive so fast.
He took off his hat and bowed real deep.
Said, my name's Jeep's a Bella, you can call me Jeep.
Finest driving I've seen in my time. Oh, sweet lady Jeep, please won't you be mine?
Oh,
she
wow.
Winked and smiled and turned with a wave, but I don't need to tell you what answer she gave. After all, who could refuse the Wrangler? Folks, I wish I could tell you that that's how it ends, but the Wrangler, he had more foes and friends. And late one night when he was fast asleep, a band of outlaws kidnapped his Jeep. Woke to a note, said,
she's alive, but not for long, so you better drive.
Smelled like a trap, but what could he do? He'd wrangle the bandits and save the girl too. They had a head start, but he didn't care. You can go fast, but I can go anywhere. Time at all, they were in his sights, given away by their own tail lights. They turned around to make their escape. You feel the squeal of his anti-lock brakes, then you already been caught by the Wrangler. Just then, 10 trucks surrounded our man, and that's when the bandits, they showed their hand.
Come on out, Wrangler, ain't nowhere to hide, but we'll trade you that girl for your sweet, sweet ride.
Trucks behind him, ravine up ahead. Without his ride or his Jeep, he'd be better off dead. So the Wrangler chose a path unforeseen. He kicked it into gear, drove toward the ravine. Bandits so stunned they didn't even see that when he sped past, he snagged his Jeep. His hand in hers, he made her this pledge. It's just you and me, baby, and they drove off the edge. And that was the last ride of...
off-road.
Well, the very next day, the town searched that ravine, but the Wrangler and Jeep were nowhere to be seen. Now, the story goes that if you drive the back roads with the top down, when the wind blows cold and you hear a sound like an engine's hum and see headlights in the setting sun, well, it just might be Jeep and Wrangler.
That was fucking incredible. God.
That is so good.
That was fucking incredible.
I waited. I didn't listen to it the full way through until now. And I'm so thrilled that I did.
The song ends and there is a moment as the final chord rings out and you're just sort of waiting there, all three of you. You could hear a pin drop in this arena. And then suddenly, a single person starts applauding. And then another. And then another, and then another, and the applause builds and builds and builds. And suddenly you realize the scope of CGA and this stage. There are thousands of people here, and you have got them all wrapped around your finger with your performance. They are loving it. They are screaming. They are screaming Celestine. A couple of them are confusedly screaming Steve. They must have seen your interview on TV. But you've won over the audience with an absolutely incredible first performance.
Oh, buddy!
We're going to grab him, I think.
Yeah. What happened? What happened? I think I blacked out.
You fucking rocked.
Oh, my.
I'm going to pick Celestine up, put him on my shoulder. And like jump him up and down as we're walking off.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get the crowd like going louder. I'm gonna like lift my hands in the air and tell them to like louder, louder, Celestine, Celestine, and everybody's just screaming,
Celestine,
yeah, fuck yeah, scream, fuckers.
Dude, that wasn't so bad, was it?
I guess not. Seems like they liked it.
You're natural up there.
It was even better than when we practiced it.
Oh, my.
Killed it, kid.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you both so much. Oh, my goodness. I would never have done anything like... Oh, my. Oh, I feel funny. Like, I feel like I can't think straight, and I want to cheer, but I also want to take a nap, and I don't know how to do both of those things at once.
That's showbiz, baby.
It takes some doing to extricate yourself from the crowd. Something you're getting a little more used to, perhaps, but you do make it out of the venue, you know, out of the performer's entrance, and heading back to Sister Mary Viable for the night. You're totally elevated, you're exhausted, you're full of energy, and you couldn't go another hour without sleeping and without something to eat. It's a big mix of emotions as you step out into the streets of the Spray Zone and try to make your way back to Sister Mary Viable's. But before you can, I'm going to have one of you roll a d6 on an encounter table.
Celestine, this is your day.
Yeah.
You go for it.
Oh, all right. That's a 3.
Again, being stopped by fans, making your polite excuses, picking your way through the crowds in the Spray Zone, when suddenly, and perhaps unfortunately or fortunately, you stumble upon this, like, press junket. And, of course, they immediately recognize the three of you and hone in specifically on Riot. And they come and shove, like, 8 or 9 microphones in your face. And like, Riot, can you give us a sound bite? Riot, we missed the chaos. Do something chaotic for us. Give us a clip for the 9 o'clock news, Riot. Come on.
And I'll be like, whoa. You're talking to the wrong person here. Do you know who just destroyed the main stage of the CGAs?
Team Sprocket.
I'm going to like snap my fingers and open my hand behind me and direct them towards our boy.
Hello.
Say there, is your name Celestine or Steve?
My name is Celestine Wanderoff. That is my name. Hello. It's nice to meet you all.
Great soundbite. We're loving the damn good on Wilds. Come on, Riot. Can't you do something crazy with the boys for us? Basically, what needs to happen here, what they are demanding before they let you pass, is like something special for their channel. Something along the lines of you know, chaotic Riot. It can involve the other two, but you're going to have to make a roll. It can be any skill that you want, but you're going to have to do something chaotic for them to let you pass peacefully.
Mm. You can like distract them and I could steal all of their phones.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I fucking love it. Cool. Can I really quickly cast Enhance Ability for Dexterity on Riot and give Riot a Cosmic Omen?
Oh my god. Sure. What do you do to distract the press in the meantime?
Well, if you think that tonight was good, just you wait till my friend here takes center stage. Crater, why don't you give them a sample? I mean, Knight E4, why don't you give them a sample of what you're about to do?
Wow, an exclusive scoop. Wow.
What the fuck,
the
man?
Microphones get shoved in your face. So many microphones in your face now. Riot, this is your chance. Can you give me, what are you going to roll?
What about sleight of hand?
Give it to me.
So do it with advantage and add a d6.
Okay.
Jesus.
Great. That already really helpful. 31.
Oh, I knew you would start with a 3. Well.
Interesting.
Gee, I wonder what happens. You are absurdly successful. It doesn't even take a full minute. You just like pick through the perimeter of these reporters as they arrange themselves in front of Crater, and suddenly their pips are gone.
Can I say that I've distributed it amongst? I just like went around the crowd really quickly and was like, "Hey, here's a phone." So,
like, to find them. Oh my god! Yeah, wow. One by one, the tabloid folk are like, "Wait a second, where's my pip? Oh my god, where's my pip? Oh Jesus Christ!" And they like slowly disperse and go looking for their stolen pips.
Hope they have find my pip.
I'm gonna roll for Team Sprocket.
Beauty.
Oh my god. It's not looking good for Team Sprocket on day one.
No.
That's all I'm going to say. I rolled a 4.
All right.
Do we need to do some sort of contested roll?
Oh, you got it.
Okay.
The path to Sister Mary Viable's is clear. Or it would be. Were someone not waiting for you outside of Missy Misty's. And she flags you down.
Steve! I mean, Celestine. Oh boy, my head is just in a right scramble after the last couple weeks. Wow, I heard that you were on a big stage of CGA? That's really something.
Yes, it was, it was something, all right. What can I do for you, Cake?
Well, like I said, it's just been kind of a strange, week. This is kind of a funny question because I just don't really... Have you seen my husband?
Well, I have seen him at times in the past, yes. Certainly when we were all at the Diplo station there, I met Beefs.
I had an interesting conversation with Riot at the party at Kaleidoscope, and I went and told I gave him a real piece of my mind, just like she told me to, and then he was storming off, and I think he's really mad. I haven't seen him since.
Oh my god!
Celestine just turns around and looks at Riot and Crater and puts up his hands.
What the fuck are you doing? What do I do?
Hug her.
What are you doing? I'm not gonna hug her.
Fucking hug her.
Wrong. That's the wrong
console
message.
Her.
No,
console her.
People are starting to look as Cake cries loudly.
Come here, Cake. There. Everything is... No. You did not do anything wrong. If you gave Beef a piece of your mind, then I have no doubt that it was warranted. And anything that happens after that has nothing to do with you.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh my god. I'm going to give myself a little cosmic moment on this one. I think I'm going to need it. 17.
Take an inspiration too.
Ooh. Don't mind if I do. What's your dice?
D6.
That is 21.
Oh. Yeah. He's never gone missing for this long. Maybe he went back to Trobonio Vega or something for to blow off some steam. I just thought I'd check with you to see if you had seen him. I just hope I didn't do something. Wellington's in a right state, you understand. His father's gone. And he's just wrecking the house. I don't know what to do.
Well, I'm told that there are some good boarding schools in the area.
Steve? I mean...
Steve is fine. That's okay. Fine. Just don't worry.
I'm sure you're right. I'm sorry for overreacting. It's just been a lot. Hey, do you think after the CGA you can just come and spend some time with Wellington once this is all done?
And what is it that you think that I could offer young Wellington?
He really likes you.
Does he?
He thinks you're so cool.
Does he?
Yes, I think so. I mean, he mentioned that the first time you came over, I think, and, I'm begging you, Steve. I need some help around there.
Do ya?
Promise me after the CGA you will come and spend some time.
Have any family or friends you could contact?
No, not a single one.
That's not good. All right.
I promise that I will give it some thought. Of course, I mean, things seem to be blowing up with us, you know, the damn good Unwilds, and I'm not sure how much time I will have after CGA or even how long I'll be in town. But I will keep you in mind.
Thank you so much.
Oh my.
She drops her hands and then walks over to Riot and grabs both of her.
I am going to slowly back away from Riot. I'm not a part of this.
I have grabbed Crater by the wrist. Don't go anywhere.
How's it going?
Riot, I have the house to myself for a few days. I'm ready.
Oh, okay. Cake? I seem to have misled you. I am so sorry to have caused grief
what?
for you and your family. I feel just terrible. Yeah, it's affecting my whole body, including my libido.
Me too. I gotta say, right, I'm ready to go.
I'm gonna die.
It's okay. We have so much to do. I would really love to, but maybe after we can talk. I mean,
promise.
Yeah, we can definitely talk. I promise that we are gonna talk.
Okay. So after all the CGA stuff wraps up, Celestine's gonna, I'm so confused. Steve is gonna come and watch Wellington for a bit, and you and I can just explore each other.
Okay.
You know, fuck it, why not?
Yes!
Why the fuck not? Sounds great.
Whoa. Oh my god. Oh Jesus.
Okay.
Oh god.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
This is, oh god.
Thank you.
She seems satisfied and sorry. She
thank you.
She goes away and she doesn't say anything to Crater. Yeah. Not a
word. We have not met yet. Somehow.
Oh my god.
Riot, it's kind of a baller move to fucking kill her husband and then boink her. Like,
it really is.
You know,
it really is.
Every day is a new day.
Oh,
every day is a new day. And on this particular day, you did it. You survived the first day of CGA. You survived your first performance. In fact, you thrived in your first performance. And you survived yet another troubling encounter with Cake, just like you've survived everything else you've encountered so far. Your room at Sister Mary Viable is waiting just as you left it, a beacon of privacy and a source of relief from the mounting excitement and tension. And as you settle in for the night, you take a mental inventory. 2 more days, 2 more performances, 2 more, and Lux goes to sleep, and you follow him into the networks so that Riot can free herself from him, so that Lux finally pays for his part in the harvesting of android organs, so that Teaspoon can do what must be done, whatever that may be.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.